Let's pray. God, just like we were singing, we invite you, Holy Spirit, into this room. We want to be overcome by you. Jesus, we put our hope in you, and we pray in your name. Amen. So this morning, when I got up and left the house, I actually wasn't wearing any of the clothes that I'm wearing right now. So this is me earlier this morning. Not particularly cool. So I rode a bicycle here to the church. I do that pretty often. And so it's still dark when I left this morning. So I have these very cool suspender reflectors on. So recently I started riding a bike quite a bit to get back and forth to church and places last year. And Chris and I got married about 4 years ago. So recently, all the clothing decisions I make when I'm buying clothes, it comes into one of two camps, okay? So it's either, is this going to be good clothing for when I'm on the bicycle, or is this going to impress Chrissy? Because they're very different spectrums there. And so by very different clothes, to be warm on the bike or to catch Chrissy's eye, okay? So for instance, like on the bike, you know, yeah, bought all sorts of different stuff to be warm, but before Christy and I got together, I might have owned a couple of gray shirts or something, but Christy thinks gray looks good on me, so now I have a couple pairs of gray shoes, I have gray pants, I have all sorts of like gray in my wardrobe and stuff. So that's just, it changes things, you know. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about clothing, about picking clothing, and it'll pay off if you'll stick with me through it, okay? So I'm going to talk about three things, three stages that comes up with picking out clothes. So first thing I do in the morning if I'm going to ride the bike is I will check in with what's the weather like, you know. So if it's a little bit chilly like it was this morning, like I wore that long sleeve t-shirt thing. So check in with the weather. If it's snowing or something like that, it'll make a difference if it's raining. Same thing with Chrissy. If she's shopping with me, you know, I'll pull something off the rack and ask her, like, what does she think about it? So check in. The next thing, purpose here, affects really everything that I'm doing is what purpose is it? Is it trying to keep me warm? Is it trying to keep me dry? So there's a purpose in my mind when I get dressed of what is the purpose of wearing these clothes. So again, very different outfits if I'm trying to impress Christy and go on a date than if I'm trying to not get hit by a truck, you know, as I cross Nolan Road. So very different. Final one is feedback. Okay, so it wouldn't make a lot of sense if I kind of know what Chrissy likes in clothing, but it wouldn't make a lot of sense if I just went the next 10 years and never asked her, like, about it. You know, if I just thought, well, I know what she likes, I'll just pick out clothes and never ask her about it. Like, that probably wouldn't work out well. Yeah, I'm getting the no from Chrissy. She has a lot of opinions I wouldn't expect sometimes when it comes to clothing, for my good, I'm sure. So, or feedback with the bike. Like, I bought a different pair of gloves last winter because my hands were, like, super, like, I could barely bend them, you know, even after, like, 20 minutes on the bike. It was really cold last winter, probably like it is every winter, I guess. But so that's a lot about clothing. Why are we talking about clothing today? Well, we're going to be reading in Colossians chapter 3, and it's going to use this image or this metaphor of clothing all throughout what we're talking about today, except for this very first verse. It's an important verse, though, for us to read. It says, therefore, in verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. So I didn't want to skip over that because right there it's got two facts that you could camp out on and just dwell on all week long, probably your whole life. If you could plant these in your heart, it would change your life. So the first one that I want to talk about is actually the second one mentioned there. It said every single person in this room is dearly loved by God. Some of us have gone through moments in life where we didn't feel dearly loved or any sort of loved by anyone. But the Bible's telling us that God has a tremendous amount of love for each one of us, that God cares about what's going on inside of you. He cares about what's happening in your life. It also says in this verse that we're chosen by God. We're in elementary school, and we got lined up at some point for team captains, and we got picked to teams. And I at least know like what it's like to get picked last. I don't know if anybody else in the room has ever had that experience, but I've gotten picked last sometimes. It doesn't feel good to know that nobody really wanted you on their team. Some of us have felt that way as we go through life. We feel like nobody wants me to be a part of their family, or nobody wants me to work with them. But it says right here that God chooses you and says, I have a spot on my team. I have a spot in my family for you. And obviously, we have to accept that and join in. But God's here today, and he says, I care about you, and I have a place for you. So that's a very starting point for each one of us, is we get to choose if we want to take that spot on his team. If we say yes to that, that's where the clothing comes in. So stick with me now. So then Paul starts to talk to us, the guy who's writing this. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's a pretty amazing list there. But I like this imagery of just like you put shoes on in the morning or just like you pull on pants, this idea of putting on good traits on your soul, of getting dressed in the morning, getting your soul ready to go out and face the elements, ready to go out and interact with people. And we all know the difference. The way you dress sometimes changes the way people respond to you. I can remember being a 14-year-old in high school. It's a short little kid before my growth spurt. I was wearing a tie because I was at this little debate tournament thing. And remember, I ran into a custodian, and the guy said to me, it freaked me out because I was 14. The guy said to me, excuse me, sir, when I ran into him. And it was because I was dressed really nice. It made me feel guilty, to be honest, because I thought, you're like twice my age. Like, I should call you sir. But the way we dress changes the way people interact with us. Well, if you dress this way, if you put these sorts of traits on your soul, it's going to change the way people respond to you. So let's look at each one of these. It says compassion. Imagine if you went through this whole week and in the morning you got up and you decided, I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to take the time today to actually pay attention to somebody else enough to actually understand what are they going through? What are they feeling? What would it be like to be in their shoes? I'm going to slow down enough to do that, okay? Or kindness. What if you got up in the morning and you took the time to think about kindness and you said, today I'm looking for a chance to do something nice for somebody else. Humility, it's a little bit trickier to get a handle on, but let me ask you this. In the last 24 hours, so just since yesterday, a little before lunch, did you hear anybody else share an opinion or an idea or a suggestion and say, you know what, that's better than my idea. I'm going to do that instead. How many of us have been humble enough to take somebody else's advice recently? I got some hands. Some people are, yeah. If you haven't taken anybody else's best advice, it's probably two reasons. One is maybe you are the smartest person that you're around. And if that's true, you need to hang around some other people, to be honest. So that's not a good place to be. If you really are the wisest person in your whole group of friends or your whole whoever you hang out with, if they are only giving you bad advice, then you just need to hang around some different people, okay? Because the reality is most of us, we've got people around us who actually have some good ideas. But if you're anything like me, you kind of have you think you're smart and you think, oh, I've got good ideas. I'm just going to do it my way. And you're not very humble if you're like that, okay? So if you haven't taken anybody's advice all week long, what if tomorrow you woke up, you said, today, just as I'm getting dressed, I'm also going to decide I'm going to be humble enough today. I'm going to be looking for whose idea is better than my idea, because it's going to be out there somewhere, and I'm going to follow it when it shows up, okay? So that's humbleness. Gentleness, something particularly guys don't normally think, oh, I want to be more gentle. You never hear that as a New Year's resolution. Some big bearded guy comes in and says, what's your resolution? To be more gentle. Never heard that before. But when you look at these lists in the Bible, it comes up over and over and over again. Gentleness gets mentioned a lot in the Bible when it gives us a list of good traits. And why is that? Well, there are times where it's okay to get angry. There's times where it's okay to get into a conflict. But 95% of our life isn't like that. And so there's one of two things in your life. There's something that's so messed up that you need to go face-to-face with it today and say, I'm not having any part of that. That's wrong. Okay, you need to have a conflict about it. That's 5% of your life probably. the other 95% of your life, if it's not worth stopping today and having a conflict about, then it's something you should be gentle with. We already established that God dearly loves every single one of us. Other places in the Bible talk about that God made us, that God has a plan for us. But most of us go through life just stomping around, and we don't care who we hurt. We hurt people and don't even notice it. It doesn't even make us miss any sleep. We don't shed any tears, even though we're crushing other people. If you go through life like that, you're going to be hurting people that God loves. So it's worth being gentle in the way you treat other people. This last one, patience, I'm going to tell us a story about here in a little bit, so we'll skip that one for now. We'll read on this next verse. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. I really like that this part of the verse is split into two parts. The last part talks about if somebody hurts you. The first one, bear with each other, that's not one we normally talk about. What it means, though, every single person in this room has rough edges. Everybody has things that are kind of weird or strange about them. Bear with one another means, what if we lived the sort of way that we didn't let other people's rough edges get under our skin? What if we were just kind about them? What if we were gracious? This doesn't mean when somebody hurts you, that's the next part. This doesn't mean when someone does something wrong against you. It just means if somebody talks too loud, or they have a weird phrase of speech, or they like music that's different than the music you like, or whatever it is. They like food that's different than the food you like. What if you were just gracious with them? Have you ever been around a group of friends or even a family where everybody bears with each other well? It's really comforting to be in that sort of room where maybe there's some weird people in the room, but everybody's really generous and nice with each other. It feels like, oh, I want to be a part of this group. I can kick my feet up and like be the real me. It's saying here, every day, put on that clothing that says, today, I'm not going to let other people's rough edges get under my skin. I'm going to be kind and gracious, even with the weird quirks that other people have. The last part is, what if somebody does something wrong, actually, to you? What if someone cheats you? What if they steal some money from you? Or what if they lie to your face? Or what if they go behind your back and gossip about you? Somebody actually does something wrong against you. What are you supposed to do? Well, here it says, forgive them. Forgiveness isn't like bearing with someone. It's not pushing it under the rug. It's not saying, oh, that's no big deal. Forgiveness is saying, no, that was wrong what you did, but I forgive you. I'm going to let go of bitterness. I'm not going to smile when you fall. I'm not going to be happy when something goes wrong. I'm going to hope for good for you. Steps up the challenge even a little bit more. The next part of the verse says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's a lot of things we could talk about with forgiveness. We talked downstairs in Sunday school about how can you be compassionate if you haven't felt God's compassion. A lot of people shared the way that God had loved them and that was inspiring them to love other people. So if you've never known forgiveness from God, that's where you start. Take something to God that you feel guilty about and ask God to forgive you. Talk it over with God. But for a lot of us in the room, we've had that conversation with God over and over where we say, God, I messed up. God, please forgive me. So how are we supposed to forgive other people that same way? Well, imagine if when you messed up, let's say 5 years ago, every time that topic came up, Jesus looked at you sideways and said like, well, you can't really talk on this because remember 5 years ago you did that thing. What if Jesus did that? What if he gave you kind of a dirty look from across the table whenever the topic came up? Some of us are sitting in the room right now, if we get some real talk, we're sitting in the room, we're waiting for someone else to come and apologize to us. We're holding on to bitterness, and we're like, I'll forgive them as soon as they come and say they're sorry, and they say it the way I want them to. What if Jesus held on to every little sin that you did, and is like, well, Chad still hasn't apologized for that time in second grade that he talked back to his teacher, and Jesus is still holding on to that or something, you know? But the reality is, for most of us, here's the way we treat Jesus. We sin a whole bunch, and we remember about 10% of the stuff we do wrong, and we go ask Jesus for forgiveness for that 10%. And the other 90%, we care so little about it, and we're so used to being jerks, we don't even notice it, and we forget about it. And imagine if someone had stolen money from you, and it was a big deal to you, and then they came to you later and you brought it up to them, and they're like, oh yeah, I forgot about it. It wasn't very much, and it didn't really affect me, so that's why I didn't apologize about it. It didn't matter. We just feel like now I'm even more mad. Imagine if Jesus kept tabs on everything we did wrong and judged us like that. So if you're still holding on to bitterness towards someone because they haven't come and apologize, you need to let go of it. You need to say, I'm going to forgive them the way Jesus forgives me. Not because they deserve it, but because Jesus did that for me. Okay? We're going to move on. I camped out there a little too long. Here's the last verse we're going to look at today. It says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. There's this idea that love's the ultimate thing for, you know, to know when to be gentle, when to be compassionate, when to be humble, when to forgive. If you let love be your guide, it'll guide you through that, okay? So if you can't remember that whole list today, remember this idea that every day put on love. This week when you're getting dressed, think about, am I putting on love? Am I putting on loving traits today that are going to get me through this day? None of us would go out of the house this week barefoot. Don't go out of the house this week without these traits put on, okay? So at the beginning, I gave you kind of weird little 1, 2, 3, but let's talk about it with this. This piece of it right here, this number one, I think will really help you this week. So my challenge this week is for you to go through that list, Colossians 3, 12, 13, and 14. Go through that list and pick one of those traits and say, this week, I'm going to be working on compassion, or I'm going to be working on humility, or I'm going to be working on being loving or being forgiving. Whatever one you pick, then I want every morning for you to check in with Jesus, okay? Just like I would check Google and see what the weather's going to be like, check in with Jesus and see what compassion is like. See what forgiveness is like. And how do you do that? Well, there's 4 books in the Bible. I would suggest picking one of them to read. I have a lot of stories about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So whatever one of those names sticks with you, flip open to one of those books, read a story about Jesus, and then ask yourself, how is Jesus being compassionate? Or how is Jesus showing humility? How is Jesus being forgiving? How is he bearing with somebody else's problems? So take you through a quick example. This might be a new thought. Let's say this week I was going to work on compassion. So I get up in the morning, I'm getting dressed, but I'm also thinking about, okay, I need to put compassion on. So I go downstairs, I flip open to John chapter 9, and there's this image, this sort of scene could have happened in John 9, or this sort of picture. In John 9, somebody sticks their neck out for Jesus. They stick up for Jesus to some other folks, and those folks aren't happy about it. And they start to bully him. They literally throw him out of a room, and they like kick him out of their group of people. Jesus is probably really busy. I mean, Jesus has a lot of important stuff to do. But John 9 says that Jesus stops whatever he was doing. He goes and looks for the guy. And when he finds him, he has this really great conversation where in front of those other bullies, he lifts that guy up and he says, this is the guy who actually knows what's up. And you guys are all blind. So that's all in John chapter 9. So if I read that and I was thinking about compassion, I would say, okay, I'm trying to wear compassion today. Jesus was very compassionate. What did Jesus do? Well, Jesus stopped what he was doing at some point during the day. He found somebody who was hurting, and he lifted them up. And so if I wanted to put on compassion that day, I'd be looking for, I got to stop what I'm doing at some point today. I got to find somebody who's hurting, and I got to lift them up, okay? So you see how that check-in works? Like you look at Jesus, and you just, it's real simple. Look at what Jesus does, and then try to do the same thing. I may not be wearing the same clothes Jesus is wearing. It may not be the exact same bullies that I'm dealing with, but it's the principle there. Jesus was compassionate. I want to be compassionate. Next one here with purpose. I told you I was going to tell another story about patience. Earlier this week, on Monday this last week, I had this big project I was working on, and it involved putting together all these binders for this important meeting I was going to. And so printer started to mess up on me, and then I just didn't have my act together. And so it's about 5 minutes before the meeting, and the binders are only halfway done. And I literally, just like this guy, I literally like ran my hands through my hair, and I said, this is a disaster. Like I said that because I knew I'm going to be so late to the meeting, and I'm not going to have all this paperwork together. And so one of my friends who was there helping me on it, she stopped me, And she said, Jake, this isn't a disaster. Like, nobody's going to be, like, hurt at the end of the day or anything. Like, it's all going to work out. She was very patient. And so her patience, like, it calmed me down. Not maybe totally, but it definitely brought me down a couple pegs. And it was like, I could take a deep breath that it was going to work out. And so I went to the meeting. I was a few minutes late. My friends had to stay and work on the binders. They brought them in a little bit later, and it did all work out. So because she was patient, it changed my day. If you go through this week and you put this sort of clothing on, you say, I'm going to be compassionate, or I'm going to be humble, I'm going to be loving. The purpose behind that is you're going to start changing the people around you. It's going to be people just like me that need your help, and you're going to be there for them because you got ready to go in the morning. You know, a firefighter, he doesn't put on all of his gear in the middle of a burning house. He puts on his gear before he gets to the fire. Like, you guys should put on your stuff before you get into the crisis, okay? Third thing here, good challenge for us is feedback. Just like I'll go to Chrissy and say, hey, what do you think of this outfit or something? You can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, how did I do on compassion today? How did I do on patience today? How did I do on being kind? Now, for some of us, we hear that and we think, well, okay, I'll pray that, but I don't really know how that's going to work out for me. Well, how about you try this week? All of us know some Christian, even if you just met somebody next to you in the room today. All of us know some Christian. Think about the Christian who knows you best, somebody who believes in Jesus, but who also has been around you more than maybe anybody else who believes in Jesus. So that might be your spouse, that might be a parent, that might be a friend. Maybe you only know one other Christian. Well, then it's easy to find them. Like, that's the one that knows you best, okay? What if you went to that person and you read them those three verses, Colossians 3:12, 13, 14. You read them those verses and said, I want you to hear all these traits, compassion, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I want you to hear them and tell me which one could I improve on the most. And your friend might be like, oh, man. Are you really want me to say what you need to work on? And say, yeah, I really want you to say, I'm not going to get mad at you. Which one could I improve on the most? And then whatever they tell you, then work on that this week. That's your directive. Just take it straight from God and say, God, Johnny or whoever it is, told me I need to work on being patient. So God, help me to be patient. And then at the end of the week, go back and ask Johnny or whoever it was, say, hey, how did I do? Was I getting better? What did you see? Okay. Last thing before we close, show some pictures from yesterday. Lots of cute kids here yesterday. Lots of awesome costumes yesterday. But like this first one of little Harrison, Jeremiah's kid, he is super cute with or without the costume on. But he puts on a dinosaur costume. It didn't make him able to roar super loud or like eat Triceratops or anything like that. And Bryce's kids looked super cute as well. But, like, they didn't have, like, electrical powers like Pikachu or anything like that, okay, which is for the best, probably for everyone. Connie and Mike can tell you that even though they were snow people, I guess, they weren't cold at all. Like, it was not chilly enough for them yesterday. And then we had, you know, Donald and Hillary here, but it was a lot of fun, but the reality is we didn't have all the craziness that would really be surrounded around them. So all these people are in costumes, but it would just change the outside. It didn't actually change their actual powers or didn't change the inside of what was going on inside of them. And maybe today when you see this list of compassion or kindness or forgiveness, you think, well, I could make believe and try to put that stuff on, but maybe you know you and you know I can't change the inside of me. I can't really start forgiving people. I can't really start caring about people around me. Today we're getting a chance to take the Lord's Supper. That's what all these things are right here. The reason we do that is to remember this. It's to remember that Jesus paid the cost for us. That Jesus, his body was broken, that his blood was poured out. Why did he do that? Well, Jesus died so that he could conquer death. So he could conquer the sinful, selfish ways that are inside of us. And he did that so he rose to a new life so we could have a new life with him. And so today we're going to hand out two little cups at once to you guys. One of them is going to have a little wafer in it, a little bread. One of them's going to have a little bit of juice. The reason we do that is to remember what Jesus did for us. And when we carry Jesus' death inside of us, when we accept it and say, Jesus, I know you died for me, then we can that opens the door to say, Jesus, live through me. Because this week, we've got a big challenge ahead of us, but today we can get the power that we need to live this way all throughout the week. And so as the deacons are coming down, we're getting ready to take the Lord's Supper. I want you guys to be thinking about, do I really accept this? Do I really accept what Jesus did for me? Do I really say, Jesus, I accept that you died, and I want to live for you? So I'm going to lead us in prayer. Jesus, I thank you for the cost you paid for us, God. It cost you everything, but you offer it freely to us. Jesus, help us to take this bread, take this juice, but also help us to remember you. I pray that as we accept your death, that you would live your life through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.